If you want something done right, you do it yourself. That's why you change your own oil. You wouldn't trust your engine to just anybody. So go with the full synthetic motor oil you can trust. Pennzoil Ultra Platinum offers engine protection for the lifetime of your vehicle. So do it right with Pennzoil Ultra Platinum. Stock up now at Walmart. Pennzoil. Long may we drive. Limited lubrication warranty for lifetime engine protection. Other conditions apply, including enrollment and receipt requirements. See Pennzoil.com/warranty for full details and terms.
Wellness looks different at every stage. The right support makes all the difference. Shake up your routine with Vital Proteins Collagen Peptides. With 20 grams of collagen sourced from grass-fed, pasture-raised bovine. It helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, bones, and joints. Made with no artificial sweeteners, it's a clean way to fuel your body. So your wellness stays effortless wherever the day takes you. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit VitalProteins.com to get started.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
When we're talking about the possibility of this being murder, because that's what she's being charged with. It's not, you know, vehicular manslaughter or something lesser. It's murder. It feels like that might be a bit of an overstatement on this, considering she was there at the scene trying to give him mouth to mouth, and then she was found that way and found in a very hysteric state, according to a lot of the testimony. Not necessarily that of someone that you would, you know, think maybe you went out and tried to truly murder your boyfriend. Let's take a listen to some of the testimony from the first responders on that.
What, if anything, were you advised by your dispatch in regard to Miss Reed?
We were dispatched that, or can't control it, advise us that she's making suicidal statements.
And so based on that, what, if anything, did you or the other officers that you're on scene with do at that point?
I don't recall exactly who, but someone had called Ms. Roberts to have Ms. Reed come back to the scene, and we Section 12'd her.
So does that show anything, that she's making suicidal statements? Is that showing a consciousness of guilt? Is that showing someone who's shocked by what just took place? What do you make out of that?
That's exactly what it shows to me, is consciousness of guilt. She is seeing all of this play out, and she realizes the consequences, I believe, of her actions, the fact she hit him, and mm-hmm. the fact he died. Mm-hmm. I don't think she ever really realized he was going to die, probably until she was laying on top of him and he was cold.
Yeah,
I think that was probably her first realization that this fight and this you know, set of events that had occurred the night before didn't just result in her tapping him. It resulted in his death. So to your point, is that really murder? Is that second degree murder, or was it by an accident?
Yeah.
And, you know, I have said from the get-go, and Yannetti, her attorney on tape, said from the get-go, this was an accident. She didn't do anything on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This was before they decided to go with this alternate narrative that she was framed.
Yeah.
But I think for most people, when you know the facts, she was absolutely blitzed in terms of the amount of alcohol she had consumed. She had recalled that he was actually, the last time she saw him was at the bar.
Yeah.
She didn't even remember going to 34 Fairview. There will be testimony. So when you add that up with all of this new information about her being suicidal in Section 12, I mean, she seemed very upset at the time, but was she also just upset as to her actions and what she knew she did.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point you just made there, because if the last thing she remembers is seeing him at the bar, then she doesn't have any recollection of being in that car with him getting to the house. And that's the key place right here. And I know you were at the scene the other week. You got to see firsthand, this was by the road, exactly how far the car would have gone forward. And then if it went in reverse, which is what it looks like it likely did, for at that certain speed for that distance. And why would that have happened? And I think sometimes you go to the surface and go, well, she must have intended to hit him. But if you just think you got two drunk people in somewhat of a quarrel of some sort, and she's saying, get out, I'm going to go, or whatever. It's not a crazy thought that maybe she drove forward a little bit, and maybe she just went in reverse because she wanted to say something else to him. Or maybe there was something else she was going to give him that he left in the car. You know, go back, roll down the window, and you blah, 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 blah. I'm just speculating here. Maybe she reversed. Well, where did he go? She's drunk as hell. Doesn't necessarily see where he is, thinks maybe he went into the house, drives away, has no recollection of hitting him, and might not at all because of being blackout drunk. But that to me seems like another possible theory on this as to how she reversed, why she reversed, not necessarily in a malice way of trying to kill her boyfriend, but in a way of just drunken argument and then being unaware that a strike had actually happened.
Well, Tony, I can't agree with your exact scenario, but I see how that could be, considered by many. The problem is she reversed going 24 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So this was
But if you're angry and you're like, I got to blah, 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 blah back at you, you hit the gas. I could see that being a possibility.
Yeah. And the other part is, and again, this partially has to do with the order of proof. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest issues is going to be in terms of how this prosecution is presenting its case. The issue that is a huge issue is, why didn't they present chronologically what happened? In other words, they should be showing the Karen Reed tapes. Mm-hmm. The voicemails, the hate she had for him during that car ride to set this all up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so out of order, right?
Sure.
You really have where they're, they, in terms of the order of proof, where they speak to John O'Keefe's brother and his sister-in-law, Erin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no sort of predication for all of that. Now we're going backwards again, going to when he was hit. But what about setting that all up, showing the anger she had?
Mm-hmm.
And also recall that as the alcohol is wearing off, as everything is happening, I think the picture became more clear as to what she had done.
Yep.
In her own mind. It was all kind of, how the pieces come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened. I think the reason it's a more confusing story than it needs to be, it really needed to start off with his children taking the stand, mm-hmm. and saying, we were woken up, and then you go into why they were woken up. They were woken up to call. Who were they woken up to call? She wanted to call Jen McCabe and Carrie Roberts, mm-hmm. to go look for John O'Keefe, and they could have explained this whole story.
Yeah.
And then you play the tapes of Karen Reed screaming, I hate you. I effing hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to him being found. And then you go to, I hit him. And it makes more sense. We're literally going backwards in a story.
Yeah, I can see it. And that would be confusing to a jury, especially a jury that, has said they don't know that much about the case, to not necessarily know otherwise, because in their minds, it's going to be in this other order, even if told otherwise. That's just how our minds would work.
Sick of the ads?
We ought to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Yeah. Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
Just bone crying, and he said, Coach, they killed him.
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming, because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.